I began seeing my dad differently. I began praying for my family. I was from a totally unchurched family. No extended family, aunts, uncles, grandparents. No one knew Christ.
Uh-huh.
And I began praying for my family.
God answered her prayers. Her mother and then her abusing alcoholic father came to Christ and were changed. Angel Christ will continue her story and sing for us as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and Angel Christ, an inspiring interview with a woman who sings for God, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. One of the greatest joys of a Christian is praising God. Sing along with this contemporary praise song, We Will Glorify. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Love and Service. It is written by Gerda M. Dahl of Illinois. Gerda writes, love and service are lifetime commitments. Scripture reference is Philippians 1, verses 4 and 5. Paul wrote, every time I pray for you all, I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now. I live in a beautiful retirement community where residents of all faiths are invited every other Sunday to attend an ecumenical vesper service. The young pastor in charge is also the chaplain of our local hospital. Through music, prayer, and preaching, he lifts our spirits and adds zest and joy to retirement living. Last Sunday, the pastor, like Paul in his letter to the Philippians, thanked us for all we had done throughout the years in our churches and communities to make known the good news about Christ. He actually called us saints of God. Then he challenged us with these words, there is no opportunity given to retire from our faith. There is no opportunity to retire from our faith's call to love and to serve, is there? As our voices united in singing the words, open my eyes, Lord, my ears, my mouth, my heart, I joyfully accepted his challenge. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, grant that our daily lives may radiate the love and care exemplified by our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. I'm happy to welcome back to Methodist Hour today Angel Christ. She's a wonderful singer, and last week she was telling how as a child she hated her father, she'd been abused, and how in church one Sunday she accepted Jesus, and things began to change.
Amen.
God gave you a new heart, Angel.
New heart.
And
new heart.
And a new life.
And a new life.
New values. And a Lord to live for.
I began seeing my dad differently. I began praying for my family. I was from a totally unchurched family. No extended family, aunts, uncles, grandparents. No one knew Christ.
Uh-huh.
And I began praying for my family. And about a year after I came to know the Lord, my mom came to know Jesus Christ.
Oh, wonderful.
And she and I began to pray together and stand before God for my dad's salvation. And eight years later, against all hope, against every hope that anyone gave my dad, he, in his mid-40s, got up one morning and announced to my mom that he was going to go to church with her.
Oh, my.
And he went to that same country church and heard the gospel one time. To our knowledge, he had never been in a church up until that time.
Yes.
He heard the gospel and gave his life to Jesus Christ.
And his life was changed.
Absolutely, supernaturally, at one single moment in an instant.
Isn't that
in
marvelous? Well, that's what the Lord can do.
And here's the great news of the gospel.
Yes.
And not that that wouldn't be enough, but I've learned that he's a not enough God.
Yes.
He's never enough.
Yes.
Not that it wasn't enough to save me, save my mom, save my dad. I've seen so many people in my family come to Christ since those years.
Yes.
But here's the great news of the gospel.
Yes.
The very thing that God, the very thing that Satan meant for my harm, God used for my good and his glory. And it was my dad that planted the seed of evangelism inside of me.
Yes. And what you're talking about is exactly what God desires for every human being.
Amen.
Not that we be religious. There's a lot of religion in the world.
Right.
But religion can't save us.
It can't.
But Jesus wants to come into each heart and transform that life.
And he is willing and he is able and he is still in the transformation business.
Yes.
Praise God.
Well, listen, you're in the transformation business as his servant and you're singing for the Lord. You've put out some wonderful albums, CDs.
Yes.
And people that have heard you, I've not heard you in person, I've heard your recordings. They just are raving about how God uses you, speaks through you.
Well, God is good, and I do love to sing, and I do love to lead people in worship. That's why I love working with Andy Lambert from Isaac Ministries as the evangelist I do a lot of work with, and I love that because I not only get to be in concert, but I also get to lead worship, and I love doing that.
And, so you lead the singing for the congregation when you're together
when I'm
in ministry.
With him. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's wonderful. And I noticed, as I looked at one of your albums, you have a combination of contemporary type songs, and then you use some of the older songs in a contemporary setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful.
That comes from my background, I think, as a director of music, directing music in the local church. You have people with many different tastes and varieties of music.
Exactly.
And so I kind of adapted that style and adapted the ability to do a lot of different styles because I want it to, Paul tells us to speak to one another in hymns. And I think there's a reason for that.
Hymns and spiritual songs.
That's right. But he didn't use the word sing. He used the word speak.
Yes.
And I think it's because he wants us to use music that speak to people. And as a director of music, I had to speak to a wide variety of people, so I believe that did play an important part in developing my style.
Angel, I love the hymns. And the one reason I love the hymns is because they speak to me.
Oh,
those marvelous words.
Wonderful.
Some of them go back to the 1700s.
Absolutely.
Isaac Watts was born in the 1600s. But his thoughts are so contemporary for our day. I mean, it's an eternal message.
And they're born of relationship.
Yes, relationship with the Lord. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. When I survey the wondrous cross. These great hymns will forever speak to God's people and to the world that needs Christ.
And we need to teach them to our children.
Yes.
We may have to find different ways to do that because children don't always want to sing songs the way we've come up singing them.
Yes.
But there's a lot of creative things out there that we can do to teach our kids and our young people these hymns.
Yes, I love the praise songs, Angel. But as I said, I love the great hymns, and I'm eager that the children and young people learn those great hymns, as well as the contemporary songs.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So important.
Very important.
Yes. Well, God is using you in a marvelous ministry, Angel. Give us your address if people want to invite you, and I commend you. I recommend you. I hope people will invite
you
to sing for them. Come to the church.
I would love to come. The easiest way to get in touch with me would be through my website at www.angelchrist.com.
Yes, now Christ is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T.
Spelled like Christ, yes.
Angel Christ, Angel
right.
Christ. Now one more time, Angel Christ, www.angelchrist,
just A-N-G-E-L-C-H-R-I-S-T,
yes.
.com.
.com, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I hope people will be in touch with you, and I hope people will hear you.
Well, thank you
so much. And also get your CDs and listen to you on them.
Thank you.
Bless you. I've been talking with a wonderful Christian lady who has a tremendous ministry for Christ, Angel Christ. God bless you, Angel.
Thank you so much for having me, and God bless you too.
And now here's Angel singing one of my favorites, Broken and Spilled Out.
One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly put out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. Broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb.
Broken and spilled out.
That was Angel Crist, Broken and Spilled Out. Dear friend, to share the longings of your heart and to find hope and joy, call the Upper Room Prayer Line. You'll find a friend on the line. It's a free call, 1-800-251-2468. Don't carry your burdens alone. Call the Upper Room Prayer Line, 1-800-251-2468. Today's message is entitled, Faith of a Friend. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 17, verses 6 to 19, and I'm going to read some of those verses. Jesus said, I have made your name known to them, those whom you gave to me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in truth. Amen. It's hard to believe, but as this lesson was written, 80 years had passed, and as far as we know, every eyewitness was dead. 80 years since Jesus' resurrection. But just think of it. Everyone who had seen or had any kind of firsthand knowledge was dead. You know, I can't even guess how many times I've read from the Gospel of John, but not until today did I realize what an enormous task this friend of Jesus had as he wrote this last Gospel. You know, we're not even sure if it's the same John who wrote the entire Gospel or if there was another John, John the Elder, who could have assisted him as editor. It really doesn't matter. It's such an incredible gospel. But now I want you to just consider the circumstances of this text. It was just about 80 years since the resurrection. The original disciples were dead. The church that was born on Pentecost was now facing a new age, a new culture, a new time. When it was an infant, it had the zeal of those who had been with Jesus. It had the stability of those who had grown up in a strong religious home of Judaism. Literally thousands of people had seen Jesus. They had seen his miracles, and many of them had been healed of diseases. Their stories were told around the dinner table and family gatherings and the street corners. Everybody could feel the zeal of those stories. You know, as a little boy, I can remember my Uncle Joe talking about being in the Army. He fought at the Battle of the Bulge in Belgium. Time after time at family gatherings, someone would say, Uncle Joe, tell us about being over there in Germany and about the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. You know, we would listen as though he was telling it for the first time. And you could feel the intense feelings he had as he talked about being in a foxhole for days at a time, especially during the bitter cold of winter. On occasion, when our family gets together now, I try to tell Uncle Joe's story to my children so that they will be able to tell it to their children. You know, I realize as I tell it, though, I can't possibly understand what I'm talking about, or they can't, because I don't have the passion for the story like Uncle Joe did, because, you see, he was there. And besides, things are so different now, and the culture is so different. All that just seems so long ago, so many years ago. When I think about Uncle Joe's story, though, and trying to tell it to my children, I can just begin to get an idea of what this gospel writer John had to do to retell the gospel story to this new culture and a whole new generation of people. Have you ever wondered why, when the gospel is being told to a new prospective Christian, it's usually the gospel of John? This is the loved gospel. Well, I want you to remember that this gospel was not told by an eyewitness account like Matthew, Mark, or Luke. No, you see, it was told by one who was transformed by belief in Christ by faith. That's so important. Now, as I share the rest of this lesson, I want you to feel the deep compassion of this writer, especially as he desperately tries to convince his listeners, like you and me, of the love of God. Now, I hope you will reread this powerful lesson, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. You see, this is a prayer of Jesus for you and me. As John tells it, Jesus is praying for his disciples. But did you notice how loving and proud Jesus is of his disciples? He says words like, I have been glorified in them. He profusely thanks God for giving them to him. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, Father, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now, friends, you must understand that these are the disciples who will fall asleep on the Mount of Olives. They will sleep as Jesus prays, desperate for his life to do the will of God. They are the same ones who will run away from the crucifixion. He's praying for Peter, who will be that one who actually denies that he even knows Jesus. When you read verse 15, you will hear Jesus ask God to protect them. And then he says, "As you have sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world." I think as John wrote this letter and began to pass it around to people like you and me, he began to feel the passion of Jesus for this people. He began to feel Jesus' passion. He could feel the love for those disciples and all of God's creation, even in the face of their brokenness. You know, I don't know, but I think that this story resonates with something deep within their souls. It just touched them so deeply that caused them to begin one by one to believe that old story about a Savior who came to the earth to tell of God's love and salvation. You know, I wish I could tell you, and I wish I could say that I've always been able to stand firm in the gospel. I want to be able to say I've never denied his salvation in my life. I wish I could, but friends, I cannot. Can you? When I think of this friend Jesus before God saying, "Father, John Wolfe has kept your word. Please protect him and send him into the world to do things that you sent me to do." Friends, I can hardly believe it. It just, something happens inside me. But I know this, just reading and hearing about it again causes something deep inside me to want to draw close to him. In 1984, Judy and I made our first visit to East Berlin. And I can remember sitting there at Checkpoint Charlie and being frightened as armed Russian guards with huge German police dogs walked up and down the aisles of our bus. They collected our passports and left without ever saying a word or even changing the somber expression on their faces. Hours later, as we traveled along the dismal road, I spotted a little church with a cross on it, and we stopped, and somehow I can't explain it, but I felt better. I could just see that cross. I felt like we were there in a place where there's some people with whom I had a relationship that was somehow holy and that we were family. Well, we stopped our bus then at the small roadside refreshment stand, and walking over to the stand, I noticed two older women working in a cemetery near that church about 50 yards from the bus. As I got closer, I saw their church, and it was at the other end of the cemetery. Now, I don't know if they were speaking German or Russian. I couldn't understand. I can speak a little German, but not much. But I motioned to them as well as I could that I wanted to look inside the church. They just seemed to understand right away. The church could seat about 60 people, I guess, and it was very plain but meticulously clean. The women seemed so anxious to show me around. Well, we looked and looked, and it was finally the honk of our driver's horn that got my attention. As I headed for the bus, without thinking, I shook hands with these two women, and they were just so dear, and I gave a kind of a gentle hug to them, and it was like we belonged to the same church. Even as our bus drove away, I saw them waving goodbye like old friends. You know, when you think of it, those women never saw Jesus. His story was almost 2,000 years old. They lived in a land where poverty was commonplace and fear was a plague. Hope for the future was really grim in those days. How did they know the story anyway? What caused them to be faithful to that little church and what it stood for? What on earth could they do to spread the gospel? Well, I can tell you that today, right now, I understand it better than I did then. You see, it was at least two things. The joy in their faces, the joy, the expression of love, and the generosity of their act of friendship toward me, this stranger in their country, well, it just moved me. Now, you see, they learned of God's love from someone else. Maybe it was someone like you. Amen.
Savior is waiting.
Thank you, John Wolfe. John, give us your further word.
Thank you, Whit. Only a brief word. I hadn't thought about that story, those two women, for a long time, Whit, and it just moved my heart, and I realized that they were so careful to protect that church and how much it meant to them to have someone feel its witness and what it means for us today to think about the church, not the building so much, but it's the people in it, of course. But somehow our church represents Christ in the world. And I'm so proud to be part of a group of people called Methodists who have such a passion, along with other Christians in the world. It is our opportunity, Whit. It's our opportunity to be the expression of God's love in the world. We've got a huge task, don't we, Whit?
Yes, we do, John. Dear listener, one of the descriptive names of the church is the Friends of Jesus. No matter what the denominational label, if you belong to Christ and I belong to Christ, we belong to each other. It is Jesus who makes us one. And someday we believe the entire world will come together at the feet of Jesus. He is the ultimate Lord of all nations. Are you his friend today? Do you feel a oneness with all who love him, no matter what the race or nationality? Jesus is Lord. Let him be Lord of your life today. You will enter a wonderful family spanning the entire earth, and you will be praying that the whole world will come to know him and love him. And you will be working to that end. Write us today and let us know about your faith and your crowning Jesus, Lord of your life. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. You may email us, mhi@mindspring.com. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.